Our conversation with the head coach brought to you on Super Bowl Sunday and every other day by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Probably not the sharpest performance on Friday, but I was thinking about this the other night, and we've had a few conversations this year, talked about a game that wasn't necessarily a sharp performance, but the result was not a 14-point road win, so there's that.
There is that. And, you know, those games are tough when, you know, everybody is paying attention to the trade the day before. You know they're going to be shorthanded. You know those guys are going to play with great enthusiasm and play free and with nothing to lose. And those are just tough games. You make a run, you feel a little bit better than you should about yourself, and then you let them back in. And we all know that those things happen. We all know the human nature side of it, and yet and that's why we shouldn't be surprised, and we just kind of have to play the next play the right way. And I thought we did it enough of the time to win, but it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a Mona Lisa by any stretch of the imagination.
I never quite, and it's a separate conversation for another time, why that is considered the greatest piece of art of all. Like, it's just, she's just sitting there. Okay, that's another topic. Danny,
have you ever been there to the Louvre?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I was a freshman in college. We played. We did a European tour, and I went. And yeah, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, well, and the question is, it's
but
one of those
again,
things.
I'm not an expert.
Neither of us are, but I think sometimes we are told that this is the great masterpiece. We are raised that way, and so we go, oh wow, this must be the greatest. And I just, you know, question things, I guess, is the moral of that story. All right, moving on. Danny said the other day, he said an interesting line about this team. He said Red would have loved this team because how they overcome adversity. Is winning a game like that and the things you just described. Last year, this team had adversity on the court. All those comeback wins, so many of them, obviously, against OKC. But is this team, when he says that, I don't think people think of them as having overcome adversity, yet Friday is sort of an example of the adversity that doesn't really show up that people think of, and yet they're winning a lot of games and kind of moving forward despite a lot of other stuff.
Well, I think every year you're always going to have things that, you know, you have to – that just basically mean that you have to hone in your focus on the task at hand. So whether that is staying within the moment and winning this defensive possession, winning the next offensive possession, working hard to get a great shot, you know, all of those things become harder and harder as the year goes on. It always has, and that's just part of being on a team, being in professional sports. There's a time at the end of the year where you can start to see teams really separate themselves, and you can see that it becomes easier and easier to focus on that task. And, you know, I think that this team has had some really good moments in the past month, and hopefully we can continue it. And but it's not going to continue if we get caught up in anything else other than staying in the moment.
One of the things that is always interesting to me about this NBA alternate universe, to which we have both given our lives to live in, is this notion of when you see a team in the 82-game marathon. When we saw the Thunder in October, Westbrook is coming off the injury. They hadn't figured some stuff out yet. And then you go away and everybody's living their own life. And meanwhile, they've been beating the living heck out of people for months now. They have been as good as anybody in the league the last two or three months.
Since that game.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I don't know what their overall record is right now, but I know that obviously they were 0-4 to start. So I'm looking at it. I found it. Now they're 33-14 since. I mean, that's as good as anybody in the league. And I think they look like that. Extremely athletic. Like when I say extremely athletic, obviously in the NBA every night you see the greatest athletes in the world, but these guys are at a different level athletically than most. And then you've got a couple of just ridiculously talented offensive players that put pressure on you at every turn.
And it's easy to talk about those two and offensively, but you mentioned the athleticism, and with what Steven Adams and giving them that Aaron Baines type thing and what all the things he can do for them, they can take chances defensively, and they use that athleticism. And they when you watch them play, they swarm you and like run away, leading the league in steals. And sometimes numbers lie, but in this case, they don't. You can see why it happens.
Well, and they, you know, as far as the numbers go in the half court, they're not you know, one of the top two or three offenses in the league. But when you add in their steals, their transition, how hard they run, how much pressure Westbrook puts on you in transition going downhill, Schroeder too, that's where they make up for it. And so you've got to be great at handling the ball. I mean, on number one thing on our defensive keys is be tough with the ball, because we know what it means to get back. Number one thing on our offensive keys is be tough with the ball, because we know that we've got to really look for great shots. If you remember in game one, we settled the whole first half, and we had 34 points at halftime. That's due to, A, us settling, and, B, they have outstanding defenders that make you do that some. We've really got to work hard to get a great look tonight.
Schroeder's really been good. People think of those two guys, obviously Westbrook and Paul George. Two other names come to mind to me when I think of the Thunder that are interesting to me in the context of you. We don't really have a lot of time to get into Sam Presti, who I think is really a fascinating guy in this league. But about 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago now, right before your first year at Butler, before you became the head coach, Billy Donovan invited you to a seminar, and he had won two national championships. And you, why do you remember that really first meeting with him then at that seminar?
You know, I think, first of all, I'm fortunate enough to call both those guys friends. I think they're really special at what they do. But, when I was before I had ever coached a game, I was an assistant. My last game as an assistant was against Billy Donovan's Florida team, the second team that won the national championship with Al Horford. We had played them in the Sweet 16, and we had played them with a bunch of small guys. I always joke that we guarded Horford and Noah with a doctor and a dentist. And so we were kind of small ball when most teams were still very traditional, and that was because we were from a mid-major league, and the way that you were going to compete was to be different. And so I actually was asked to come to their clinic that Larry Shiat, who's an assistant for the Mavs now, and Billy were running, and just talk about, playing small. And so that was my first talk as a head coach, was at the Florida Coaches Clinic. Well, the other speakers that day were Wes Wilcox, who was the Atlanta GM, Kevin Eastman, who was an assistant here, and you guys had just won the championship here with the Celtics, and Ron Adams, and then a bunch of college guys. And so that was a really enlightening deal. And what I remember most about it was, here was a guy that had just won two national championships at the peak of the game, Billy Donovan, and he's asking all of his questions. And so, to me, that says all you need to know about him, his desire to learn, and how good he is.
Which brings me to this quote, which you may have crossed your desk, but probably didn't. It appeared in Sports Illustrated about 6 months ago, and I bring it up as we think we know which way the Stevens house is going to be going tonight at 6:30, and what a special day it is in New England. Here's a quote. I have so much respect for Brad Stevens. I try to catch all of his interviews, all the things that he says, and how he coaches. I learn a lot just watching him. Any idea, any wild guess who said that 6 months ago?
I do not know.
That was Sean McVay, who will be coaching against Bill Belichick, obviously, tonight. And to me, it ties into the Billy Donovan thing in that I've never – one of the evolutions in all the years I've been doing this is seeing coaches from other sports opening their minds to what – other coaches are doing, that the profession seems to be much more united than it used to be.
Yeah, I think, and we all realize that there's so much we can take from each other, and you know, it's, I appreciate him saying that, and he reached out through a mutual friend in August, and we've exchanged texts throughout the year, but I've never met him in person. Have not obviously texted him or talked to him in the recent past, because I'd like to see them lose today, but but it is, you know, he's obviously a really special young coach, and has done an unbelievable job. And, you know, I was 33 when we went to our first Final Four, and there are so many benefits and great things that have resulted out of being on that stage at that age, like Sean is today. But there are also great challenges ahead, and that's one of the things that, you know, he'll handle perfectly. He's clearly a bright guy, but he also is, he seems like another person that's always trying to learn and grow and get better. So I'll be watching him closely and watching him as a fan, but certainly not rooting for him.
We'll see who paints the Mona Lisa tonight. Celtics and the Thunder, it's next on the WROR Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.